Can you guys hear me? Yeah? Okay. That's so cool. I've always wanted to use a hands-free one. So I have a clicker. I have a mic. We're ready. How are you guys doing? Good? Okay, cool. You guys look very alive. I like this. Lord, I just give you this time, and I thank you so much that you have something specific for each of us today. God, I pray that you'd really open our hearts, God, open our ears to hear what you have for us. I pray that you'd say something through me to each and every single person out here today, God. We give you this time, and we love you. We love you. We want to worship you, God. We want faith to rise in this building as we remember what you've done, and God, as we hope for what you will do. So we invite you, your Holy Spirit. Amen. So thank you for singing that song. That was awesome. That was my theme song for the past few months. I felt like it was a real season of trying new things in my life and staying within boundaries that God set over my life that weren't necessarily fun for me, but they were wise and they were good. And as I surrendered, I found new strength, I found new power, I found new freedom. So I encourage you guys to meditate over that song as well if you enjoyed it. It's by Hillsong, and it's really good. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about the making of a disciple. I've spent the last year and a half almost with an organization called Youth with a Mission, and they really emphasize raising and training disciples to know God and make God known. And so these are the foundational values. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just so you have an idea, that's the organization I've been with, and today I get to share with you guys. So thank you for having me, sharing a little bit about where I've been, what God has done, and what I've been able to experience with him and with a great community. So I did a discipleship training school in Australia. This was last summer. And shorthand, it's called a DTS. There's a lot of YWAM jargon. YWAM in itself is Youth with a Mission. So forgive me if you get a little bit lost in these little names. But DTS is a six-month, really intensive, introspective journey of where are you in your walk with the Lord? And where has he been all your life? When you went through pain, when your parents got divorced, when you felt alone, when your friend chose a different friend over you, you know, all these things. Wow, okay, where have I faced rejection in my life? Where have I actually lived in an identity that's less than what God has called me? I am a child of God. And amen, exactly. And so this whole 6 months, it's crazy. Like, I went to DTS and I loved God. I went through DTS and I was like, oh my gosh, God is so much more amazing than I ever knew. And he still is than I know now. It's just, it's so fun to get to know him more. So 3 months down. Is that better? Chin. Is that better? Good? Am I talking too fast? Oh. Oh, the hair. Oh, air. Sorry. I'll contain myself. So 3 months, the first 3 months are a lecture phase, and there's 12 weeks, 12 different topics, 12 different speakers, and it's amazing. So we go through different things like hearing God's voice, repentance and forgiveness, the Father heart of God, lordship, all these different topics that really challenge you and really go deeper in your walk with the Lord. And then, so that first 3 months is kind of knowing God is the mantra behind it, I guess. And then the next 3 months are what we call outreach, and my DTS, my discipleship training school, went to one single location. We went to the Philippines. I was in Manila. And I was doing a medical DTS. So we did a lot of healthcare education and outreach. It was beautiful. It was a very different 3 months, I will say. Like, I lived in just like a little room, slept on concrete, had cockroaches and rats and all that stuff. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. It was amazing. We were... It really is. Like, that's not a joke. It really is. There was one girl on my team who actually left 2 weeks into it, and it was really sad because, I don't really know how to phrase that. She belonged there, and it was really sad to see her go because I think she really missed out on a deep work God wanted to do in her heart. And so there will be times that are challenging as we follow God, but, man, you get to know him a lot more in those places where you really depend on him and you need him daily. Which was the Philippines for me. So that was actually, this was really cool. I got to share the gospel with a bunch of police officers in Manila. And it was just such a privilege because they are the people in their society who are standing for justice and kind of get to establish what the values of the society are. And so it was really cool. I was like, wow, here I am talking about Jesus with the police. It was cool. And then we went to a prison right after that. And then, okay, so then after the Philippines, I came home for 2 weeks and really felt called to go to Paris. And that was a little bit off the radar for everyone because Paris actually didn't have a YWAM base yet. They pioneered in October of last year. And the base leader was a speaker on my school when I was in Australia. He spoke on intercession and worship. And he told us about a base being pioneered in Paris. And I was like, wow, something is stirring in my heart. Like, I have never wanted to go to Paris. I don't like cities, but I feel like I'm supposed to go to Paris. And so I went, and it's been amazing to really watch God establish us and provide for us and prove himself faithful again and again and really bind our community together. We have over 20 staff now. And this photo actually has the Backpack Europe Discipleship Training School, those students in it, as well as some of the Music Discipleship Training School, and then all of us staff. And obviously that's the Eiffel Tower. yeah, most people know that. It's about 40 minutes away from where I live. And yeah, we go there for picnics and spend time together. We have a lot of times of evangelism in Trocadero, this little square here. Yeah, so I've been in Paris since January, and I have a 2-year commitment there. And my big three things are kind of discipleship and outreach and service. So the Backpack Europe DTS is the school that I staff, and I absolutely love it. Like, it is the call of the Lord on my life, and I've stepped into it, and I love it. I get to take other students through that 6-month course that I did in Australia and the Philippines. And we do our lecture phase in Paris and then our outreach all throughout Europe. I went to 6 nations and did like heavy ministry there during the 3-month outreach, but we went through 15, I think, in the course of that 3 months. And then when I'm not staffing the school, I've been working in the info department, which you can see our lovely little office. We got fans, praise the Lord. It was so hot up there. It's like up in this attic. Oh, it's so hot, but we got a fan. And that board is me keeping track of the students who are coming onto the next Backpack DTS. It starts again in January. And so it's really fun to be praying them in and just inviting them, answering their questions, kind of recruiting in a sense, but really just praying over them. And then we did a summer service thing called Paris Je T'aime, which means Paris, I love you. And we got rights to do concerts in front of the Eiffel Tower and another place in Paris called République, which is a big square. And it was amazing. So we were literally standing in front of like 2,000 people sharing the gospel, singing secular and Christian songs. And amazing. I got to coordinate the family and children's ministry of this 2-week outreach. We had like 130 people come to Paris. And so like the 3 hours before the concerts, we were gathering kids and families. So we had a crowd already. And then did these worship sessions, and I mean, those were long days. We were evangelizing till like 1 a.m. on most of those days because people are in the crowd and they're curious and they're like, why are you singing? Why are you all dancing? Why are you happy? And I think it's 2 Timothy 3, like, always be ready to give an account to the reason for your joy. Why do you have hope? Why are you loving? And be ready to tell him. Also, we have bread donations. It's kind of fun. I don't know if you saw that picture. Well, anyways. We have 2 bakeries that donate to us, so one of the perks of living in Paris. But this is kind of what I want to get into a little bit more, is what is it to be a disciple? And this is kind of one of the bigger takeaways I've gotten from my time in YWAM, because we are focusing so much all the time on training disciples. And so it's confronting, like, if you're training someone to be a disciple, what are you actually training them to be? What does that look like? And so these are just some of the things I felt like I should share with you today. And most of them are based off of the different weeks of lecture phase that we have. Not entirely all of them, but we're just going to walk through this. You guys ready? Yeah? Okay, cool. The clicker is not really cooperating. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so first one, a disciple is someone who knows the voice of God, someone who listens and they obey. And to me, this was kind of confronting when I first went to YWAM, because I was like, I've never actually heard God. What does that mean? But these different scriptures really opened my eyes to the fact that hearing from God is something I want to do. I want to know when the Lord is speaking to me, and I want to trust that, and I want to walk forth in confidence. I don't want to live differently. I want to be sure of where I'm going and why I'm going. And John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I love that verse. I'm like, oh, God, I want to know your voice. I want to be protected by your staff. I want you to be my shepherd. And so this book right here, Is That Really You, God? Everyone in YWAM reads that book. It was written by the founder of YWAM, actually. And it kind of takes you through what does that actually mean to hear from God. And I am intending to leave it in the library. I couldn't find it this morning. So if I find that at my house, I will donate it to the church. But honestly, if you're short on time, the very back of the book has it all summarized. It's really nice. I read through the whole book twice. I encourage it. But if you need a shortcut, the back of the book is great. And then that other scripture you can kind of see is a little bit more of a warning. Like if you don't hear God's words, it's because you're not of God. And so I think it's just something that we should all be aware of is every day we need to hear from God. I mean, we need to search the scriptures. We need to know his voice. And a fun little testimony, this picture down here is in Dublin, Ireland. And we went to a Zumba class. And it wasn't at all that we were planning to go to Zumba. But kind of the lifestyle of outreach. I was a leader and I had a co-leader. We had a team of 8 people. And we don't go with a plan. And I'm a planner, and I'm like, what? It's like, we're going to go 3 months and not have a plan. I was like, what is this? But what we did every day is we got up early, and we prayed, and we asked the Lord. I mean, we would seek him individually. Paloma was my co-leader and I, and we would just pray and ask what he wanted to do with us today, what was on his heart. And there was this one day where I really felt like we should go and do cafe ministry, and I've never done that. I was like, okay, God, like, let's do it. Listen and obey. And so we went to a cafe, and I was kind of praying, who should I talk to? And I went and chatted with this one lady who ended up being a Christian. And that doesn't happen very often. Usually you're sharing the gospel for the first time. But it was awesome. I love finding fellow Christians. And she was so encouraging. And she actually is a Zumba instructor. And she invited us to come to a Zumba class. And we were like, okay, sure. And so she actually paid the way for us to come. Missionaries, we don't actually have a ton of money. And so we were really limited on how often we were going into the city in Dublin because transportation in Ireland is very expensive. And so she paid for us to come, and then the class was free for us. And really what she wanted us to do was to encourage that lady right there, which was her boss and one of the instructors. And so we went and we danced and we had fun, and we prayed over her afterwards and we talked to her, and it was beautiful. And it's actually an amazing connection just to have our whole time throughout Dublin. She blessed us with prayer. She and her husband felt to donate to me personally and to encourage me in my future. Like, they prayed over me and had words for me. It was really cool. So just kind of an encouragement. Like, when you pray and you ask God what to do and he speaks and you obey, like, cool stuff happens. Like, I didn't plan that. I'd never done Zumba, always wanted to. And it's funny to see how God meets our desires even when we're not pursuing our desires. We're just pursuing him. And I think that's really his character for us. He knows us, and he loves us, so he acts in love. So after each slide, by the way, I'm going to give you opportunity to process and try to apply it to your own life. So a couple questions. Do you listen to God? Like, I think that's such a simple question, but do you actually listen to God? I think we need to be very intentional to posture ourselves in a place of listening. I read a quote. Mother Teresa, she would start every day with 10 minutes of silence. And I was like, oh. I tried that, and I was like, what? It's even 3 minutes? I was like, but God, you've put so many things in my mind already. I'm so ready to talk to you. Like, nope, silence. And it's very challenging, and maybe it's just because I talk so much, but you try. It's hard. It's really hard. And then next question, do you trust the character of God to obey? Do you obey him, or do you question? Are you scared? Like, oh, that sounds super awkward. I don't know that lady. I'm going to go sit next to her and ask her if she knows Jesus. What? But you do it and you obey, and then you go and you do Zumba. So, do you obey? And then, can we click to next? Thank you. Okay, another mark of disciples is they love one another. John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I love that verse. And that was actually the verse for our team as an outreach team. This is my team. We called ourselves the Wolf Pack. And so, yeah, there was my co-leader and I, and then 6 students. And those are the 6 nations we went to. But these people sharpened me. I really love this group of people because they challenged me to love and to love well. And, I mean, we did some radical things. Like, we had this policy of, like, no personal items. nothing. Like, you don't write your name on anything. If you go to the store, you better eat your food quick or else someone else is going to eat it because nothing belongs to you. Like, we really are so community oriented. And it was so cool because it really helped me realize everything is a gift from God. It's not my own. I'm not entitled to even the things that I buy. It's all a gift from God. That money, where'd that come from? That came from God. And so these people really challenged me to love well. And it was fun. We tried to, like, outlove each other. We were at our last location in Cyprus. And fun fact about me, I am slightly obsessed with Christmas. And so I was just praying. I was like, God, what should I do? Like, I want to love my team. And so I threw a, like, Christmas party for them. And it was just really fun, like, getting personalized gifts for each of them and just had a night of Christmas. And it totally caught them off guard. They weren't expecting that. And it was just really cool. And then on another night, one of our teammates took us all out to dinner. And it's just, it was sacrificial. Like, it cost her something, obviously. But it was just really cool. It was cool to be around people who wanted to love and who taught me how to love in different ways. And it was cool because this was our word for our team for outreach, not just lecture phase. And so we kind of made that an emphasis, like, okay, we're going to love well, and people are going to know we're Christ's disciples, so we need to invite them into this love. And when we were in Dublin, there was this guy that we met on outreach who was like, you don't want to live by stereotypes, but he was sketchy. Like, he had dreads, tats, piercings, everything, and we were like, hi, we're Christians. Well, not really. We didn't say it like that, but we reached out to him and eventually came across that we love God, and he was like, you're crazy. And so we were like, okay, have a good day. And we walked away. And then one of my teammates, she's bold. She's awesome. And she's like, no, I need to go give him this word. And so she went back and was like, hey, I just want you to know God loves you. And then she went away. And he's like, wait, what? No, you don't just say that. What? And so then he came back. He came and had dinner with us. And at first I was like, God, this feels so stupid. I'm like an outreach leader. So I'm like, if their parents knew what was happening right now, like, I would be fired. But I'm a volunteer, so you can't really fire me. And so it really is. And so we have this guy in our house, and the whole time I'm just praying. I'm like, Lord, protect us. I'm gonna lock the doors tonight, all this stuff. But it was great. He came in and he swore so much. So, like, every other statement was, you guys are crazy. And we're like, okay. And we're just loving one another. We're like, oh, can I serve you? Like, serving him meals, like, oh, here, let me get you some more water. Meanwhile, he has, like, his flask of alcohol. He's like, I don't like water. And we're like, okay, okay. And we're just loving him, and we're loving each other. And by the end of the night, he dumped his canteen down the drain, was receiving prayer. It was crazy. Like, the whole time, I was like, what? Like, God is in this place. It was so cool. And so then he came back for dinner a couple times, and, yeah, he was awesome. His name is Yvonne, if you think to pray for him. I'm not sure where he's at right now, but he was a father, and he was from Croatia, which is funny because we were going there later. And he had left his daughter in Croatia. And the thing that really got to his heart was when we were talking to him about how he feels about his daughter, how that's how Father God feels about him. And he had never considered that. And that was very confronting for him. And he was, like, getting a little teary, so he looked away because he's a tough guy. And so we gave him a space, but he was there for hours, and it was really cool. That's just the privilege. I'm like, wow, Lord, like, we got to be a part of that. Like, you're touching your children. It was beautiful. Application question. This is something that I have benefited a lot from. So if you're struggling to love people well, I would really encourage you to meditate on Philippians 2 and just the whole concept of humility. Like, just look at Jesus' life, because if you want to learn how to love, if you want to learn how to exalt others above yourself, yeah, that's a great passage. And then also, you can always read a book. There's lots of books on love. Love Does is one that I'd recommend to anybody and everybody. That one has really, really encouraged me to do love. But also, disciples repent and they forgive. And before I went to YWAM, I had never really done repentance. And so I was really intimidated by that concept, actually. I was like, what? I'm going to tell people the things that I'm ashamed of? I don't want to do that. That sounds scary. But it's really this thing of trusting the character of God. And I wanted healing. I wanted righteous people to pray over me. I didn't want to let that opportunity pass me by. And so we had a week in lecture phase called Repentance and Forgiveness. And you repent and you forgive. And it's powerful. And you get to know people on a very deep level. Before I went to YWAM, I was struggling with anorexia. And I had never told anybody. And it was such a source of shame in my life. And it was something that I really needed deliverance from and healing in and a lot of community and love to come and embrace me. And I didn't know that. I knew that, but I didn't know that. And so Repentance and Forgiveness Week, I couldn't wait till application day. Like Friday, we do application. It's amazing. The whole day is application. But on Tuesday, I had to share because I was like, it was so heavy in me. And so I told my small group, and I was like expecting to receive all this condemnation, and I received love. And I was like, what is this? Oh, this is the gospel. This is Jesus. And man, like it's so cool when you experience the love of God, when you know God, how that really motivates you to want to make him known. Because that's like outreach. I love outreach. I cannot wait to go find someone who is broken and they don't know it and share love with them and help them feel who Jesus is and why he came to earth. It's amazing. And so let's see here. Oh yeah. Okay. So our speaker on Repentance and Forgiveness Week, he had this one phrase that just rocked my world, and it is break the sound barrier to break the shame. And I'd never really considered that before, but when you actually speak out what is chaining you down, what is holding you down, it cuts those chains. There's no bondage in the light. Like when God comes and when he shines his light on the darkness in your heart and you get that out and you find that people actually can accept you there and God accepts you there, there's nothing that you can do that God won't take you back from. Like, that's such a beautiful truth. And I knew that before going to YWAM, but I didn't know that. Like, I had the right answers in my head, but I did not feel that way. I very much felt like, oh, if I perform, if I do well, then, oh, I like myself better, so God must like me better, and all these things. And then you get confronted with the truth that there's no level of performance that will actually make you good enough. And, I mean, that's what anorexia was for me. I was striving. I was doing well. And it was to a point that was way overboard, and it was very unhealthy. And it was obvious that grace was not the foundation of my life, my performance was. And praise the Lord, I went to YWAM and I found out that, wow, I don't have to be perfect. And Jesus is perfect and I can praise him for that and I don't have to try and be that. So I really enjoyed that week. It was the hardest week of my life, but freedom came and praise the Lord it came. And this verse I just love, Zephaniah 3:17, just reminds me of the character of God, how he really isn't condemning us. He really is delighting over us and he loves us. He sings over us. He dances. So yeah, it's just that the whole concept of being fully known is when you can be fully loved and when you repent, and that is putting yourself out there. It is not comfortable. It still isn't comfortable, but I would like to say, like, I hope to live a lifestyle of repentance. It's not just on application days that I go and repent. It's okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for showing me that. I'm going to go and repent right now. Because the quicker you get it over with, the quicker you're free. Like, why would you hold on to it if you know the freedom that's on the other side? It just doesn't make sense. It's still uncomfortable, but yeah. Don't worry. There will be an application. It's just coming after this next slide. Thanks. So, key to repenting is inviting conviction from the Holy Spirit. Because I think that's something I really want to communicate. Condemnation is not from God. And so if you're just feeling guilt-tripped and all this, like, no, that's not from God. The Holy Spirit is clear in his conviction. And just pray and ask for it. God, is there anything on my heart I need to get right? Is there anything that is keeping me from you? Anything keeping me from the people I love? And if so, show me. Because if you want to get it right, if you want to walk in right standing with God and man, invite the wisdom of the Lord in your life. Just pray for it and ask. I love how simple it is. And so this verse, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? We really got to trust God's character here. It's his goodness that leads us to repentance. He's not going to call us and ask us to do something that's bad for us or embarrassing for us. It's something that's really freeing for us. And so, I don't know. I think you have to really posture yourself in that position to receive conviction. God, I know I'm a fallen person. Would you show me how I'm fallen right now? I want to live in freedom. I want to live loving people well. I want to live to love you, God. Show me what I need to get right. And repentance is threefold. It's confession. Okay, I actually need to break that sound barrier, break the shame, get me free. Then it's turning in the opposite direction. So it's like, okay, yes, I see that this was a mistake. I'm not going to make that mistake again. I want to live different. God, would you teach me how to live different? I don't want to lie again. I don't want to exaggerate again. I don't want to compare myself again. Show me how to walk in the opposite spirit. Show me what it looks like, Jesus. And Jesus is amazing. He shows us all. Like, j- just go to the Gospels. It's beautiful. And then the third part of repentance is restitution. Okay, now actually go and get things right. If I lied about my brother, I need to go and repent to him. I don't just repent in front of someone else or just to Jesus. Like, oh, if that's actually still hindering my relationship with him, I need to go tell him. I need to go say, hey, I'm sorry. And I've committed to walking in the opposite spirit. I'm not going to tell lies about you, whatever it is that you're repenting of. And fun little story. So Melody, she was one of the girls that I one-on-oned. Oops, sorry. You can go back. Oh, was that me? Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. I clicked it too. Sorry. So one more. Okay, good. So as a one of the leaders, I had three teammates that I was the one-on-one for all through outreach. And so we meet weekly and have a one-on-one. And so Melody was one of the girls that I did that with. And she's beautiful. She fears the Lord. She hears from the Holy Spirit. I mean, she is amazing. And just kind of a picture of this in action. We were talking about her toiletries. And I was like, oh, yeah, I feel like my toothpaste had a different mark in it than how I left it. And I was just thinking out loud. And then later that day, she comes to me. She's like, repenting. She was like almost in tears. She's like, I used your toothpaste and I didn't tell you. I am so sorry. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay, I want to really champion her in this lifestyle of repentance. But I was like, I forgive you. So cool. Like, these are people who are learning what it is to fear the Lord, and they are walking in like truth and beauty. It's so cool to see. And so that was the joy of my outreach. Like, my ministry was really those people right there. My job was to train them, equip them, get them to go and share the gospel. And also, I mean, it's really fun when I get to do that as well. But there is a lot of joy that comes from seeing other people fall in love with God and his ways. So now, hopefully, it goes to the next one. Maybe? Next slide? Okay, cool. So another key thing that I think disciples do is they intercede. And to intercede is to really stand in the gap for a people or a person or a land, to push back the ways of the enemy and his plans for their life, and to really invite God's ways. So this verse gets me. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. And man, may that not be the reality in our lives. If God has something or someone on your heart to pray for, go and stand in the gap. Like, prayer is so powerful. I did not realize that before going to YWAM. But I will tell you what, pioneering a base, there is so much you need to rely on God for. Like, so much. And it starts in the place of prayer. And at first, I was like, okay, Lord, like, this would be really cool. Can we see this happen? And now I'm like, wow, no, like, I know God has the power. I know he has the will. I know what, I mean, his heart is. Like, yes, he wants people to know who he is. So, yes, having a Christian base in the one of the most influential cities in the world, that's probably on his heart to do. And so just praying into with confidence, like, okay, God, we need a place to live. And so we have kind of these three mountains that we really prayed into as a base during my lecture phase. And one of them was our finances as a school, because we needed to go on outreach, and we needed 30,000 euros, which is like $35,000 to $40,000. And we had 2 weeks, and we're like, okay, this is a bit of a mountain. Like, that's a lot of money. But we prayed, and we had times of intercession just as a whole school. We would come, and, I mean, we had a whiteboard in the middle, and we were just making phone calls, and we were praying, and we were being faithful with the little. Everyone was, like, running to the rooms, finding any change they had, just throwing it in the hat in the middle. And we just had this big pool going, and by the end of this one night, it was crazy. We got down to zero, and, oh, you best believe, we had a party. We were dancing. We were praising God. We were on our faces. He's so amazing. He was just so faithful to us. And then there was another one. We needed a place to live. And so, funny story. So we didn't actually get our house for the first 3 months I was in Paris until the day before I arrived in France. And so I was like, well, I'm going to this place. I don't know anyone. And they don't have a house. And, yeah, this is going to be interesting. But God called me, so I know I'm going. And, man, you listen and obey, and he does amazing things. And so we went, and we got this Airbnb. And it was like a mansion. It was beautiful. But it was supposed to be for 12 people, and there was like 35 of us. And so we were sardines. But Joy of the Lord is our strength. We were happy and we had fun and we came to know the Lord and we praised and we worshiped in that house, and it was a real place of rest. It was beautiful. But we only had that for 3 months. And so we were like really on the accommodation search again. And so we prayed so much. And I mean, I'm talking like 7 a.m. every morning we were praying as a team. During lunches we were praying. We have times of intercession every Tuesday and Thursday morning as a base for about an hour, and we were praying, and we got a warehouse 9 days before we didn't have anywhere to live in Paris, and it was amazing, and we were praising God. And then the last mountain was the music discipleship training school, which we were pioneering, and we only had one student with 2 weeks left to go, and we knew God spoke for this school to happen, and so we were like, okay, we're going to pray, because prayer is powerful and God hears prayers and God moves, and he really wants us to be desperate for the things he's desperate for. And by the start of the school, we had 10 students on the music DTS, and they just finished our outreach. They had an amazing outreach, and praise the Lord, it was amazing. One of our 9 mile followers actually came and did that school, and her life is transformed. She's going back to staff in Paris, actually. It's an amazing testimony. So pray. If there's something God has put on your heart, I have 10 minutes. Okay. I'm sorry. Let me think here. I think I just want to keep going. Also, fun application challenge. I was finding that I did not have enough time to pray for others in my normal amount of quiet time. So I have to wake up earlier and have a longer quiet time so that I can read my Bible, hear from the Lord, pray over my family and myself, and then have time to intercede over whatever God's put on my heart. So it might be a sacrifice, but if God is calling you to wake up earlier or stay up later, whatever it is, I encourage you to do it, because it's really fun to pray about something and then to watch God move. So, a little fun challenge. All right, so disciples fear the Lord. And before I went to YWAM, I was kind of uncomfortable with that phrase, but I love it now. And easy definition of fear of the Lord is to hate sin and to stand in awe of who God is. And I love that, because the more we hate the things that God hates, the more we don't want to have any part with that, the more that we walk in fear of the Lord. It's this whole concept of living above reproach. If there's a little diagram, my basically is, if there's a circle, and this is God's boundary, like the boundary line is the circle, live right here. Live in the center of the circle. Live above reproach. Don't get close to the lines. Don't test it. Trust the boundaries God puts in your lives. Trust his goodness towards you. And hate sin. Don't want any part of it. It's really detestable to God. You don't want to be part of something that God really doesn't like. And then stand in awe of him. It's amazing to just be in nature again. I've really missed this, actually. And so, I mean, you don't need to be in nature to stand in awe of God. But really posture yourself in that way. And this picture is actually us in Copenhagen. That was one of my favorite cities to go to. And it's kind of a pun, because we were painting within lines. We were painting their base. So stay within the lines. And then next slide. I think that went, did that go to the right one? Oh yeah, it did, sorry. Okay, well, it's a little bit out of order, but this is okay. So disciples also follow Jesus, and I love this verse. It's such a challenging one. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life in this world will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And I just want to encourage you, if you're going through something that you feel like is a word of the Lord on your life and it's not comfortable, you're not the only one. That's okay. It's not always going to be comfortable, but it's going to be worth it, and he's going to be there, and you're going to get to know him more, and that should be the joy of your life. It is so fun to get to know God to a deeper level. And these are pictures of things that I've experienced that have not been fun, but I've found Jesus, and so I'm very thankful for these times. So that car that's exploded, that is right outside my door. I live in a very sketchy neighborhood in Paris, and it's okay. God is there. It's really cool to be light place, but like, this is like 3 a.m. Like, what is that noise? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. It's not like I'm going to do anything about it. So just go back to sleep. But then we walk outside, and this car had like exploded. We're like, what? It was crazy. And so it was there for like a month, and then they got rid of it, which was good. And then that rat was also right outside my door. And yeah, Ratatouille, not so much. It was gross. And we slept in a lot of airports, but I mean, we're young, we're fine. And then the Bible there is, it's actually this one. I was recognizing this has been to more countries than most people. Isn't that weird? It's so cool. But this was in Greece, and that was at the Life Jacket Graveyard, which is Oh man, it's hard to talk about. It is, they are life jackets of refugees who have come over to the Greek island of Lesbos, and most of them coming from, I mean, the Middle East, Syria, Somalia, and a lot of them don't make it. A lot of them do. And this is debris from both survivors and those who have passed away. So yeah, following God is not always rainbows and butterflies in the sense that we think of him, but I think it is rainbows and butterflies in the sense that he is faithful and his promises stand. And we grow and we transform when we are walking in his ways and we're inviting him to move in our lives. And so I'm really thankful for these things. I wouldn't really wish them upon people necessarily, but I would wish the transformation that has happened to me for people. So in that sense, I'm like, Lord, you are sovereign. You do what you do. You work in your ways. They're higher than mine. So I just encourage you to look in your circumstances and see how you're getting to know God better and just praise him for it. There's always opportunity to give thanks. Okay, yep, sorry. We're just going to have to skip to the next one. Next. Okay, this is a key thing for discipleship, is making Jesus Lord. And oh man, this was a challenge for me. We had a whole week on lordship in our lecture phase, and I was like, okay, yes, like I believe in God, I love God, but is he my Lord? And I was like, oh man, I hope so. Like, I want to be a disciple. And I don't know, this week was really key for me. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That challenges me, because the thing that I love most in my life is right there. It's my family. And to give them to God and say, actually, I love you more, was like, that was one of those things. I was like, yep, I love God more. But here I was like, I don't really know. And so that's a big challenge. Is what is it in your life that you really love? And can you recognize that it's a gift? And can you love the giver more than the gift? Like, that is what God is asking us to do, is recognize the good things he's put in your life. It's not saying, oh yeah, just toss them on the altar and leave them there. But give them to God and leave your hands wide open, because, I mean, he gives them back, but he doesn't let us do this. Because if we're doing this, we are bound to something. We are slave to something that is not God. And so when you actually give it to him, when you let yourself be free, when you say, wow, God, I trust you more than I trust myself. I don't want to hold on to my talents. I don't want to hold on to my family. I know you can hold them better than I can. I cannot describe to you how freeing that is. Like, oh man, one of the things that allowed me to go to Paris was actually my own self giving me permission, because I thought I had to go back to school because I'm smart. And I was like, this is the best way I can glorify God, is to get a really good education and to be a doctor and to do things that only smart people can do, because that's a gift God has given me. And oh, it was so freeing for me to say, God, you know, you've given me academic talents. Would you lead me in them? Would you take them and guide me? And he guided me to Paris. And I was like, okay, cool. I know he knows the gifts. I know he's not stupid. I know he's very wise. And so, wow, how freeing to not have to worry about how to make the most of my life, to not reach my potential, but to follow the Lord and trust that he knows my gifts and he knows how to use them better than I do. So there's a quote by Lauren Cunningham, the author of this book, and it says, while he never requires us to be irresponsible concerning our families, God does ask us to place our love for family and our desire to be with them on the altar. Love for God and obedience to his call are to come first, before parents, before marriage and children. We are to submit these gifts for his greater purposes. And I would really encourage you that when you submit these gifts, there's so much freedom that comes. It's one thing to be chained to a sin, but to be chained to a good thing, oh, it's just really sad. Like, really, just give it to God, and then it's not going to hold you back. It's only going to be something that can bring you joy and bring him glory. And there's a really great poem, and I encourage you to look it up, but I will not have time to read it right now. It's called My Choice by Bill McChesney, and it's just following this concept of laying down your rights. And then next slide. So, question for you, is Jesus your Lord? Because I think that's kind of one of the big things that separates a believer from a disciple. It's not just, okay, yes, Jesus is my Savior. That is someone who believes in Christ. And that's good. That's really good. But to be a disciple, which is what I hope we all want to be, we got to make Jesus Lord. We got to say, you can have it all. Lord, you can have my time. Oh, I had this great plan for today, and then someone inconvenienced me. Actually, no, God has given me an opportunity to love and to show them that Jesus is real, Jesus is alive, and he has changed my life. And is he Lord of your money? Is he Lord of your goals? Is he Lord of your family, your decisions, your speech? Do you speak life? Do you love? Do you worship? What do you do with the things God has given you opportunity to have in this world? Because it's all for him. It really is. It's all for God. And this is actually a picture from our Lordship application. That was a 20-hour application. It was crazy, but it was so good. And so that was a Friday, and we went through kind of a mock tabernacle. And so we went through all the stages that the Israelites went to, or what they had to go through in order to get to the presence of God. And it was a beautiful practice that we did. And one of the things that we do is like a giving circle in that application. And that's the kind of stuff that builds faith. Like, we would just pray beforehand, God, what should I give away? And, oh man, he answers prayer. Like, there's, in my DTS, I had a staff, well, he's actually in Paris on staff with me now, but he was a student then. And he gave me this backpack, and it was filled with, I kid you not, every single thing in it was so significant to me and my relationship with God. Because there was things in it that were just things I wanted, I didn't need. But I was like, God, this would be really cool. I was like praying for that beforehand. And then this backpack comes along. A, my backpack, like the zipper had just broken, so I wanted a new backpack. And I was like, oh my gosh, so cool. And he's like, well, did you open it? And I was like, oh, no. Inside there was a hammock. I had always wanted a hammock, never had one. There was the type of gum. I only like two types of gum. The kind that I liked was in there. There was Post-its. I wanted one of those. A journal that was amazing. Just all these different things, a flashlight, because I didn't have one for outreach, just all these things that I hadn't asked for. Like, John had no idea, the guy who gave me the backpack, no idea that I wanted these things. He didn't really know me that well, so he didn't know what kind of gum I liked or anything like that. And it was just an answer to prayer. It was just seeing God really know me and love me to the place of actually meeting desires and not just needs as well. It blew me away. That was just one time. And then, I mean, other weeks, people gave me a ring from the Dominican Republic, which I had lost on my own, and all these things. It's just so cool. And so, actually, I challenge you, like, ask that question. Is there something I need to give away today? Because it's actually a very freeing question, because then you recognize, wow, there's nothing I'm holding on to that I don't give God access to. He's Lord, not my stuff. I'm not chained to my stuff. That's really cool. And also, I want to be a blessing to someone. Is there a need in my community that God wants to provide for, and I just have no idea? And what a cool opportunity to be his hands and feet. He really will speak to you. It's fun. It's fun living with a spirit of generosity. Fun little fact. DTS, the Discipleship Training School, sometimes we refer to it as die to self. And I think that's actually a really good way of putting it as well, because, man, we're not living for ourselves. And so it's really fun to just kind of, oh yeah, die to self. Oh yeah, okay, cool. What do I have that's not actually mine that I can share? But disciples make Jesus known, and there's that good old Great Commission. I love that. And it's a good challenge. Share the gospel. I mean, we are the church. Let's share it. Let's go and tell people. Let's show them with our actions. Let's show them with our love. Let's show them with our, tell them with our words too. People won't know unless they hear, and they won't hear unless someone tells them. And so it's a deep conviction on my life to share the gospel, and I hope it's a deep conviction for you as well. And I just encourage you to get creative. Like this picture, this is actually in Cyprus. I was praying, and I was like, God, how are we going to get the good news out? And I felt to just do like little SOS jars, which are, I just took like our Nutella jars and whatever, and I wrote the gospel and just filled them and like planted them around the city. And I don't know who heard the gospel, but someone is going to open that, and that's kind of all we get to do. Like, we get to pray, we get to have the Holy Spirit move and touch people's lives. Like, there really is no pressure for us to save people. I hope we realize that. Like, it really is God who does the saving and who leads us out and how to actually share and what to share. But it's a great joy. I'll tell you what, it's a great joy to share the gospel with someone and to see their lives get changed. Jesus came and he died and he rose again and he lives and he wants people to know that. So if you don't know how to share the gospel, come and ask me. Like, I'm not saying I'm like an expert, but I have gotten to do it a lot, and praise the Lord for that. It's a really cool thing to do. But let me see here. Oh, I probably don't have, I have a lot of stories on sharing the gospel, so just ask me, but I don't think I have time right now. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, this is taking a long time. One more slide. Okay, so I mentioned this book earlier, Love Does. It's amazing. I really encourage you to read this book. But each chapter starts with a statement of, I used to think this, but now I know this. And so I kind of just want to, there's a step right there. I just want to highlight some of the things that God has really done in my own mindset. And I just want to praise him for it. Because I used to think that he loved me more when I was doing really well. And now I know that his love is unconditional. Which means I could sit in the same place all day and do nothing, which is so against my American mentality and my striving self, and he would love me the same. And I love that about God. And that has actually caused me to really rest and rest. Like, I have been challenged to take a Sabbath. That was one of those boundaries that I had to do in this whole new wine season. I was like, what the heck? What is a Sabbath? Like, that just doesn't work for me. But it does. I had to submit to the Lord's wisdom and be like, okay, God, teach me. I do not know what it looks like to take a Sabbath. Teach me. And it's really cool living in a Christian community. I had others who can come alongside me and help me. It's not something I had to do on my own, but they would be like, okay, here, just come watch a movie with me. I'm like, okay, sure. And just learning how to rest alongside others and alone, it's really good. I'm sorry, 1 minute. Yep, okay, let's see. Well, I guess maybe you've had time to read that. Application leads to transformation. It really does. You can't be transformed unless you apply it to your own life. So I encourage you, when Pastor Kevin has on the little bulletins every week the application section, pay attention to that. Really plug into that. Take notes. Like, I go everywhere with my notebooks and my glasses because pens, like, I want to be able to receive from the Lord. Whatever he's speaking to me, I want to remember it. I want it to change my life. So just invite that. Don't just hear it. Do it. And then, okay, maybe go to the keeping in touch sign. So there's a table in the back, and my grandmas are amazing, and they baked with me all day yesterday. So feel free to come and enjoy some muffins and cookies and brownies, and also there's little cutouts with this information on it. How you can keep in touch if you want to receive emails. I send out an email usually every 2 weeks. Hopefully that will stay that way. And if you want to support financially myself or my base, that would be awesome. That's how you would do it. You can PayPal, that's my account, or that's the account for our base in general, the accounts at Wyoming Parish Connect. And then I made a video. Actually, I had a friend who's really talented with videography. She made a video for me if you want to watch that. It shares a little bit more about the testimonies from outreach. And then next slide. If you are interested in pursuing Wyoming, which I guess it's maybe the info person in me, I love telling people about Wyoming, and I really encourage people to do it. There are lots of DTSs for older people. Like, it's not just a youth organization. So this lady is actually, she's from Arizona. Her name is Terry, and she's beautiful, wonderful. She's about around 60. And she was doing a Crossroads DTS is what they call it for older generations. And she was doing it in Harpenden, England, and they came and stayed on our base for a few weeks. So these are some of the locations that they do Crossroads DTSs. But there are a lot. I just encourage you to check out the website if you're interested. Or just ask me about it. And yeah, that was, sorry, a really slow but fast rundown overview. I intended to have a Q&A time, but that's not really going to happen. But I will be in the back. And so if you have questions, please feel free to come ask. And can I just close us in prayer? Yeah, okay. Oh, Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you that you use broken vessels, God. I thank you that you mold vessels, God, into what you'd have us be. And you know who we are, God. You fully know us. And you want us to be fully known, God. I just thank you for the love and the acceptance that comes from being fully known. I thank you for the community you've placed us all in, that we have each other here. We have opportunities to sharpen one another, to edify one another with our giftings, with our calls, with the words you speak to us, God. I thank you that you really do intend that we would be known by each other. God, I thank you that you're moving in this world. I thank you that you really do have a heart for all the nations. And yeah, God, you have a heart for us. And so I ask that today we would be listening to you, God. We would be changed because of what you're doing in our lives. We'd be changed because of what you've done in the lives of the people around us. And God, would you just motivate us to go and share? Would you give us the courage, God, the boldness to stand up for truth and to stand up for who you are and to be unashamed of your gospel, because God, it is powerful and it is good and you are good, God. So I just bless this congregation, God. I thank you for how attentive they've been, God, just a beautiful audience. And Father, I pray that they've been hearing from you today. They've been hearing from you and you alone. Father, would you just cement in their minds the things that you have spoken to them specifically. And God, I thank you that you've been here. And I really praise you that you're going before us as we leave. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.